Well, I guess it's another time. It's time again for another letter to the home front. Let you know what's going on over here in the happy little land. So I guess it must have been about 2 weeks now since I rode home. I haven't lost count of the days here. Days go so fast. We've had our monthly inspection. This month it was a IG inspection. And we've been working real hard, and they've had a lot of details cleaning up the company and making everything look right. Actually, what it amounts to is you have to hide just tons of stuff because you just cannot run a company the way the Army has it set up. It's just not humanly possible. So it involves a lot of camouflaging and hard work, so these people see only what they're supposed to see. Imagine just same way when Pop was in the Army. Inspection come, hide all the stuff. Our motor pool, they dispatched 14 trucks that day, the IG. There's not a vehicle in there except for those that were mechanically perfect, which is few and far between. They passed. It was only the second motor pool that this team has ever inspected that passed. When the IG team left, they left at night about 4:25. We had a convoy come in from 196 about 4:50. We had one tractor trailer, three deuce and a half pulling trailers, and a three-quarter all full of stuff. There's enough stuff on those vehicles right there to send a couple of men to prison for a long time. It's all extra parts that we've picked up and things we need to run the company, but you're not supposed to have. They never did get down to the line. They got one team went into tech supply and one in avionics, but they never got over to my place, which in a way I was happy because these people got these big briefcases full of regulations, and they just quote regulations from one end to the other, and they dig far enough, they can find anything. There'll always be something wrong with you. Still, I would like to, I know I was straight, as far as I know, I'd like to put on a good show here for them. Overall, the company did pretty well. They only hit us on small little things. And this should be all for this month. Now, next month, I don't know. I'm sure somebody else is going to be trotting through here. This is worse than in the States. We never had as many inspections in the States. Right before this inspection, the company handed out a letter from General Abrams. And it was telling how, in the past few years, since the big buildup began, how military discipline and things like haircuts and personal appearance was allowed to slip, but 69, this is really going to get straightened up, and this is going to be just like stateside, and have a lot of inspections, and actually what it was is a pretty depressing letter. I don't know what it is. They couldn't make this place, like on these camps where I'm at, a real paradise. They'd have guys extending just hand over fist. As far as I'm concerned, it would look good on a company commander's record that so many people extended. I suppose it also looked bad because they're wondering what the heck's going on over here. Like, for instance, in the 129th, the Huey Company that's here, they got two platoons that fly. One's the Slicks and one's the gunships. The Slicks are just H-model Hueys that have two machine guns on them. And those are the Bulldogs, and the gunships are called the Cobras. These are the call signals over the radio. The Cobras is the elite platoon over there. The guys that fly the gunships, they don't even talk with the other guys. They just go around. They're the elite. There's this one fellow I was talking to with. When he got into that platoon, he had 13 months in country, and 14 out of the 18 guys had more time than he did. But now their company's gone to pot just like ours has, and well, they're just begging for guys to fly these ships now because nobody wants to do it anymore. Nobody will extend. I got my 4 hours of flying time in last month. I just really don't like to go flying all that much anymore. I don't think the maintenance is that swift around here. So I just keep out of the air, go up for 4 hours a month, and that's it. What I really lucked out this month was I went up with this Dan Kistner, real nice fellow. He was a flight engineer. And usually I fly as the left gunner. But what I do now is I sign on on the log as a TO, technical observer. And this way, I don't have to ride a gun. I can just kind of float around in the ship, you know, and if I get tired, well, I can just sit down. I don't have to be sitting here watching the window for other aircrafts. And then I was also riding the hole with Dan. The way it works is the gunner flies the left gun, the crew chief flies the right gun, and your flight engineer, he's in the rear of the ship, keeping his eye out on the mechanical components back there. Now, if you notice in my slides, there's a hole in the bottom of the ship where the hook is. And when you attach onto a sling load, the flight engineer is laying on his belly with his head over the hole. And in his hand, he's got the control for the hook. Now, this hook is stationary. It doesn't go up and down. It's not on a sling. So this hook, the ship has to come right in over the load. A man has to be on the ground holding up the sling so he can attach it onto the hook. The crew chief, he's there, the flight engineer, he's laying on his belly, and he's telling the pilot where to fly the ship. And he'll be yelling, three forward, down two, five right, down three. So you get in, the man hooks on the load, he pushes the button on his little stick, close the hook up, and they take off. Now, if the load gets wild in flight, I mean, some things just do not carry well, like a conics. They swing around a lot. Thing gets too wild and there's danger of bringing it on the ship, well then the flight engineer punches it off. It's called punch off the load. So anyway, this takes a lot of, takes a bit of doing. You sit there watching this thing and telling the pilot how the load is riding. And now the day I went up, there was two other guys from the maintenance crews that wanted to go flying. So we let them come along. We warned them that they wouldn't be getting any flying time because you can only put four crew members on for flying time. We let them fly the right and left guns. We let a regular left gunner fly the rear so he could get experience back there. And Dan and I, we just went to sleep on the seats. It was about 2 hours in the morning there. I just couldn't tell you where we went to. In the afternoon, we had a Korean quartermaster run. And this is, we go over to Tiger Town, which is about a mile from here. And we pick up a whole bunch of fruit and just general food. We fly into the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Battalions down here in the Rock Valley. Well, we figured by the way the loads were listed, we're going to have an extra hour or so. So we stopped down at Miami Beach. Miami Beach is about 20 miles south of here. It's a big stretch of beach, about a mile long, a beautiful bay. There's hardly any gook fishermen out there. And there's a Korean outpost right there. What we do is we take a hook, land right on the beach, rip off your clothes, go swimming for an hour. At the end of the hour, come out, stand out in the hot sun for a couple minutes, dry it off, put your clothes on, hop in your ship, take off. On the water, this water, or you can imagine 110, 115 degree weather, that water is just nice and hot. This particular day, too, we had about 8 Korean passengers on board. They were hitchhiking from Miami Beach up to Tiger Town. We told them we'd take them. But we shut down the ship then. This Korean come up to me, he's real puzzled. He says, why are you stopping? I says, because we're going swimming, man. Let's go. And pilots, they hadn't even shut down the ship, and us crew members, we were already making tracks, getting in the water. I think these Koreans must have thought we were crazy. That expression on this guy's face. I can just figure what type of a war you think Americans are running here. Every day now we got a Miami Beach run. Anybody that wants to go swimming, we got a ship goes down in the morning, we bring them back at night. And then we bring the boat, the USS Homokai, along with us. Land on the beach, push it out into the water, and then at night the ship lands, hook the winch onto it, pull it up inside the ship. And everybody has a pretty enjoyable day. I've pretty well decided now on what type of speakers I'm going to get for my stereo system. I wrote for literature for all different sort of manufacturers. So a lot of American manufacturers offer military discounts now. It's the only way they can keep in business with the Japanese firms over here. Because it's quite a market. A million Americans over here every year, vast majority of them buying components. The Japanese are getting out of business. However, Americans don't widely advertise these discounts, so I've just been writing to all these people. And the way it looks now, unless I change my mind again, which I hope not, I'll be getting Wharfdale speakers. These things, Their shipping weight's 73 pounds apiece, so if I order them, be sure you take two or three people along with you, not that Pop goes by himself or pick them up from the post office. They should be delivered. See, since these are made in America, I think they'll be delivered right to the door. But if they're not, hate to see Pop get a heart attack trying to lug one of these things into the car. Maybe getting my turntable now one of these days. I've been working part-time in a craft shop here at Lane. I suppose you're kind of wondering about this craft shop. As you know, I've told you that we've got one here. Well, the guys that were running it did a real poor job of it. Place never ran regular hours. They'd be in there blowing smoke, you know, smoking pot, and throwing parties, bring some girls in from the Ville or something. So anyway, they got fired now by the post commander. And Major Stone volunteered our company, says that we would run it. So one of my gunners had some experience. He worked in a hobby shop back home. So he works there full time now. That's his only duty. So he runs the craft shop. He even sleeps in there. Well, that wouldn't be a bad way to spend the war. Tell your kids, yeah, I ran the craft shop. Well, he works there full time, but this place is much too big for one guy, so there were two other people that were hired to work at night. But these guys, one guy, he was kind of, he told a XO of a company off what he thought about him. So they got him on, they gave him a new job. He's courier for the company. They fly him down to Fuhep every night, let him pick up messages from battalion, and then they fly him back in the morning. So he's not working there. And this other guy they hired, he never shows up anymore, so he was fired. So this other guy, we just kind of volunteered ourselves and worked up there. Oh, looks like we're working about 10 nights a month. I get paid $5 a night. Now, the hours at the craft shop are from 12 noon to 5 o'clock and from 6 to 10. Well, I work at night, but I work from about 7 to 10 because I got to come down here in the line and get these machine guns out to the perimeter guards. And I go up there and sell stuff. Now, here's the bad part about the craft shop is the ordering right now. This is our number one problem. Our craft shop is basically divided into three sections. A complete dark room, the service counter, and a work area, and a complete wood shop. Our wood shop's got a wood lathe, a belt sander, a drill press, a bandsaw, a circle saw, a radical arm saw, and we're missing a joiner and a planer. Our dark room's got five developers, chemical baths, a wash, heaters, dryers, pressers, and our counter is in the work area. Now this is where we do our selling. We handle model airplanes, airplane engines, all the accessories to build a plane, slot cars, slot car engines. Let's see what else we got. Photographic paper, photographic supplies. We got mechanical drawing accessories, and like drawing kits, triangles, that sort of thing. We got two big cabinets just full of complete woodworking equipment and tools. And now this stuff is not stuff the Army has bought. It came through special services, which is, it's somehow involved with the Army, but it's not really part of the Army. I think it's civilian. I'm just not sure how it's worked in. But anyway, this is all first-class stuff. We got about all tools by Stanley. Good quality stuff. I mean, it's not like this junk the Army buys. You can feel the quality in it. Now, these guys that had the shop before did not keep up with their ordering. Ordering takes approximately 4 months by the time you place the order till you get your shipment. So what we got now is we got this wide assortment of different crafts, but we don't have a complete line of anything. Guy comes in and buys a model airplane to fly. Okay, he's got it, but we don't have any dope to put the wings on. We don't have any glue. We don't have any paint. We're missing some of the accessories. like the control horns and bell cranks for inside it, the control line, our slant cars. Well, we got a slant car track, but right now we don't have any hooch to put it in, because when the 7th or the 17th Cav moved in, we had to give the hooch that the slant car track was set up to them. Now we're going to build a hooch in our company area, but we're not sure when it's going to get up. As far as mechanical drawing accessories, we've got a beautiful a drawing kit over there, like something like Pop has, you know, with all the little compasses and that. It's made by Kent. They want $27 for it. And I'm halfway even thinking about buying it. Not that I really know what to do for it, but it's just a good investment. There's 16 cases of paint on order that these guys did order, but we're not sure when we're ever going to get it. So now by the time we start ordering, it's going to be another 4 months before any of this stuff comes in. So we're going to be selling all the stuff. Now we've done about $4,000 worth of business in the last couple of weeks. But we're going to sell all the stuff on our shelves, and we're just not going to have anything for those couple months in between. That's going to be the problem. Run out of photographic paper, we'll run out of everything.